Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for kicking off your week with us. This is your Monday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orico. You can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. That's where we post all of our new content, podcasts, articles, news and notes, polls. You name it, we got it over there. If you're not somebody who uses social media, sportsethos.com is where you can get all of that right from the source. We had 5 articles hit the website yesterday, so make sure you're checking out all the great work from the team. We had 2 fab articles. We had our weekly weather report, our reliever recap for the week, and then our pickups of the day, which you see pretty much every single day there at sportsethos.com. But let's go through the weekend. Let's talk about Saturday's notes. We'll get into what happened on Sunday, and then we'll talk about some of the most added and dropped players of the day. Let's start off with Max Mayer. He had an absolutely dominant start against the Braves. Went 6 innings, allowed 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts, no walks, and a 36% CSW. He led all starting pitchers on the day with 23 whiffs, and that makes 3 consecutive really strong starts for him. I have no real doubt that he'll stay in the rotation. You do that to Atlanta, you shut him down over 6 innings. It's very hard to take a guy like that out of the rotation. There has been some talk with Edward Cabrera going to be coming back and Braxton Garrett that maybe Mayer, I always mix up the Mayer and the Mayer, that he may end up losing his job at some point, but I really don't see it at this point in time. He looks really, really, really good. His next start is lined up to come against the Cubs, and I think that he does make for a pretty reasonable pickup, not even just for that start, but just as a rest of season type of pickup. The Cubs don't really worry me so much either. I think you can deploy him there. They've been pretty strong, but overall I don't think they're of a level of offense where you can't stream against them, especially with a guy like Mayer who has had 3 consecutive really, really strong starts to open up his season. He's still only 50% rostered on Yahoo. Definitely somebody you should be taking a look at if he's available in your league. The Cubs are a little bit tricky, but I think you're still sending him out there pretty much in every single league. Unless you're talking like a very, very shallow league, or perhaps you get a few days into the week and you see that your pitching is just immaculate. It's different for head-to-head versus a roto format, I think, in a head-to-head league. Every kind of start really depends on how your week is going. You might get to Saturday, Sunday in a head-to-head league, and you could have Corbin Burns and Zach Wheeler slated to pitch for your team, and you might not even need them in a head-to-head league, depending on what's going on. So it does vary more there, but generally speaking, in a vacuum, I think Max Mayer is a pretty good start for this week against the Cubs. Nick Lodolo had a season debut, and it was against the White Sox, but he did exactly what you were hoping he would do against that group of essentially quadruple A, triple A players. It's one of the worst lineups I've ever seen trotted out in April. They're 2-13 for a reason. They're awful. But Nick Lodolo did what he was supposed to do. 5 2/3, allowed only 1 hit and struck out 10 batters, 42% CSW, very few hard hit balls, and he was keeping his velo in the 93 to 95 range. Really good stuff, like as much as you can really hope for somebody's first start of the year after they were a little bit behind in their ramping up period. He had a calf problem, and I think there was something else too. There was a calf, and I think there was something else, but it's good to see him get the job done in the first start of the year. Now, he is going to be facing the Angels later this week. That will be on Friday. That would be an excellent, excellent matchup to deploy him in. The Angels have been doing okay, but I'm seeing a lot of takes that are like, the Angels are good now, the Angels are good now. We do this, you know, pretty regularly every year, so every other year, maybe the Angels have a decent start, and then we're like, oh, maybe this is it. Like, no, the team is just not good at all. Nick Lodolo should be started, and you know, he should be picked up and started for that start against the Angels on Friday. He's 66% on Yahoo. Still seems very low. When I put this out on Saturday night, he was 60%, but you should still be starting him, I think. Now, it's a little tricky at home. Great American Ballpark can scare some people off, but I think, you know, I think that I'm pretty comfortable starting him in that matchup. If you want to add him and sit him because you're worried about the ballpark, then I don't have a problem with that either. I think the main priority right now would just be to get Nick Lodolo onto your team. But I'm not terribly worried about the Angels either. That's a pretty good start in my book. Mackenzie Gore had a fantastic outing. Again, it did come against the A's. You know, there's some guys who are beaten up on bad teams, but we've also seen some guys get blown out of the water by bad teams. So it's not something that you can just brush away either. You got to look at it for what it is. It's a good start. Mackenzie Gore, 5 innings, allowed 4 hits and no earned runs. He struck out 11 batters, walked one with a 39% CSW. It's been good through his first 3 starts, right? Like, it came against Oakland, yes, and that's something like, as soon as I say somebody had a good start against Oakland or the White Sox or even the Rockies or certain teams, there's going to be somebody, a couple people in the comments that are like, oh, well, okay, you know what, it's Oakland. This is 3 starts in a row for Gore where he's gone at least 5 innings with at least 6 strikeouts and allowed no more than 3 earned runs. I mean, that's about as much as you can hope for from anybody. Mackenzie Gore is somebody that did have some problems last year. He's kind of had an interesting development path as a prospect, but, you know, it looks like, and I said this early on in spring, that maybe this is a year where he could potentially break out. I have a couple shares, but I did bench him this week in my weekly lineups because he is going to be facing Houston. Houston is not doing what Houston usually does, but that lineup still does scare me. Depending on who you have going in a weekly league, I think it's, you know, you could start him, you could sit him. It really depends on matchups. In the couple of leagues where I do have him, I just didn't like the matchup more than some of the other matchups that I had going. But he should be absolutely on everybody's roster at this point. He's only 51% on Yahoo. There is still a good chance that you can get in there. Because people, you know, after that first start against Pittsburgh, 3 earned runs over 5 1/3, people actually started to drop him, and then they've gradually started to pick him up a little bit over the last week, really, with these 2 good starts against Philly and Oakland. But he's not somebody that should be on 50% of waiver wires. That feels like a really, really high number to me. Let's talk Tyro Estrada, who you guys know if you listen to these podcasts in the preseason or looked at my work on Twitter or whatever, you know that I'm a pretty big Tyro Estrada fan this year. It had been a bit of a rough start. Admittedly, it was looking pretty ugly for the first couple weeks. He had 1 home run, but hadn't been looking great. He hit 2 home runs the other day against Tampa, though. It looks like he's potentially breaking out of that slump. He had a multi-hit game the day before as well. So overall, Estrada's hitting .226, 3 homers, 9 ribbies. It's nothing crazy, but that couple home runs, the 2 home run game did get him back on track, at least statistically. So the line doesn't look so, so brutal in the season ranking and things like that, because people do overreact to that kind of thing. Oh, he's hitting 125. Oh, he's ranked 550th. People will react to those kind of things a little bit too much right now. And Tyro Estrada was dropped in a lot of leagues because people are looking at the small sample size and thinking that's the whole season's worth of data, and they're making, you know, premature evaluations. But Tyro Estrada went down below 70% on Yahoo. He's now up to 71%. But I think it's really crazy to be cutting bait on somebody with this kind of talent level. And, you know, the main point for me with Estrada is he doesn't hurt you anywhere. He is an asset across all 5 categories. Somebody that I think, you know, he hasn't stolen any bases yet this year, but I think that there is probably still 20-plus stolen bases there. It's weird. We expected San Francisco to steal a lot more with Bob Melvin. At least I did. A few people that I know did as well. And I think they're dead last in stolen bases so far. So it's been kind of weird from that perspective, but I do think that the stolen bases are coming. And overall, you really should not be cutting bait on Tyro. Even in very shallow leagues, I think there's a lot of value there still. Let's talk about Lamont Wade. I think he's a pretty underrated asset, especially in daily changes leagues. If you're setting weekly lineups, 12-team league, like, Lamont Wade is probably not going to cut it. In fact, he almost certainly won't. But if you are playing in a daily changes league, 10, 12, 15 teams, whatever, when he gets in there, he's batting second or third as a strong side of the Giants' first base platoon. He has decent pop and fantastic on-base skills. I think, you know, if you are in a daily change league and you're just slotting him in there when he's starting, it's going to look pretty okay for you. Even last year, 17 homers, he batted .256, couple steals. He's off to a blazing hot start. He's 15 for his first 40. He's already hit a home run. He's already stolen a base. You know, this 375 batting average, first base and outfield eligibility. Like, there is more value in Lamont Wade than the 5% rostership on Yahoo would suggest. I think that he's a lot more valuable than 5% rostered. Not to say that he's a must roster player or anything even close to that, but I think he does have some value in those daily change leagues. Just slot him in there when he's facing a righty, and you're getting a top of the order bat who is very good on base skills. So there's a lot to like there with Lamont Wade. Let's talk about Colton Cowser. Just absolutely ridiculous kind of week. I think he was the number one fantasy player this past week. Let me just double check that. Yeah, he was. So in 23 at bats, 6 runs, 4 homers, 12 ribbies, stole 2 bases, 435 batting average for the week. And for the season, he is now the 22nd ranked player according to Yahoo. Not perfect. I'd usually go to Razzball, but just for, you know, a quick check, you can look at Yahoo. It's not going to be too far off, but generally the Razzball player rater is what you should be looking at. This is just a crazy hot streak for Colton Cowser, and he actually started against a lefty as well this weekend, which is not something that we really expected. It was more going to be a strong side of the platoon type of thing, at least in our minds, but he's playing himself into an everyday role. I'm not sure if it'll be Cedric Mullins, because Cedric Mullins was the guy that did sit for the lefty in place of Cowser, but I think it's Austin Hayes that he's likely, the phrase is Wally Pipped, but I think that he is going to, however you want to phrase it, he is going to be taking Austin Hayes' job. Because Austin Hayes is batting 086 for the year, 3 for his first 35. He had a very good season last year, but you can't be holding up these top prospects for a guy like Austin Hayes. So Colton Cowser, the long and short of it is he should, whether it takes a week or 2 weeks, or even it's maybe we're already there, get himself to everyday playing time. He's started each of the last 6 games. He started each of the last 6 games, including the one, like I mentioned, against the lefty. And the way he's playing, he has to be rostered. 76% on Yahoo is still too low. You're looking at ESPN. These are a day old, the numbers, but he was 22 on ESPN, and he was 71 on CBS. So he's probably like gone up above 80% on CBS. I can quickly check that. But he is still available in more leagues than I would have thought, honestly. I would have thought, like, I don't know. I would have thought it wouldn't be these kind of numbers that we'd be seeing at this point. But you can still find Colton Cowser despite these recent few games where he has just been ridiculously hot. So if you're still seeing him on waiver wires, I would be adding him. I saw some crazy bids last night that were like, you know, 300-plus out of a $1,000 budget. You're talking 30, 35%. I don't know if I would have gone that high. My bids for Colton Cowser were, and I don't usually even go this high, but I was bidding about 20%, and even that felt kind of a little bit off. I needed an outfielder in the couple leagues where I did bid on him, and I missed him by a dollar in one league. It really sucked, but I mean, I don't know what we're going to be looking at the rest of the season. This is obviously not going to be sustainable in the long term, but you pick him up now, and you might be able to ride out the hot streak, and maybe if you're not really sold, you can package them up in some kind of trade. You see all kinds of crazy stuff. If you look on Yahoo's website, you can see who's getting traded for who every single day. And sometimes there is some wacky stuff. People will come at me with like, you can't sell high and buy low and all this stuff this time of year. But Julio Rodriguez got traded the other day in a Yahoo league 1-for-1 for MJ Melendez. So I don't want to hear about how you can't make trades. I don't know what kind of league. It doesn't specify what kind of league it is. It just shows you that trade happened in a Yahoo league. But you can't be making trades. So whatever you're going to do with Cowser, pick him up, start him, try and trade him, whatever it is, he needs to be on rosters. And the roster rates still do seem a little bit low for what they should be, considering the prospect pedigree and the way that his role is developing right now. Let's talk about Griffin Jacks. I think I've seen enough. You know, if you're in a league where you're just looking for saves, he doesn't have one since opening day. He had a bad outing yesterday against the Tigers where he allowed a couple of runs. Overall, like, the season line looks fine. He has a 1.35 ERA. He has a 0.9 whip, 1 win, and 1 save. But he doesn't have that role in Minnesota. He's not the closer like we were hoping he would be once Duran went down. It's some kind of a committee. They haven't had a hell of a lot of save opportunities. But it doesn't look like Griffin Jacks is just going to be the guy. And I think if you are in a 10 or a 12-team league, there's no need to really be wasting time with him. If you have saves plus holds, or you have a lot of roster spots, it's a little bit different. But I just don't think, based on the usage, that we're going to be looking at more than like 7, maybe 10 saves. And I don't know that that's really that valuable to hold the entire year. I have him in my home league, which I need to get rid of him. I'm just trying to find a suitable replacement. And I have him in my Tout Wars league, but that is save plus holds. So that's a little bit different. In saves plus holds, I think he's a lot more valuable. If you're just looking for saves, I mean, he hasn't got a save since opening day. That was almost 3 weeks ago at this point. I mean, there's not a hell of a lot there as far as I see it with Griffin Jacks to hold him in just the save league. I think it's a wasted roster spot at this point. Maybe he does end up with double-digit saves, but I can't imagine it's more than 10 or 12. And I think that there are probably some better ways you could go about constructing your roster. Let's talk about the Blue Jays and their bullpen closer usage. So they went to Chad Green in the eighth, and then they let Yimi Garcia close it out against Colorado on Saturday. They have gone back and forth a little bit because Chad Green got a save a couple days before. Garcia looked fantastic. He struck out the side. I just don't expect Toronto to be consistent with who they deploy in the ninth inning until Jordan Romano is back. I think there's going to be matchup-based stuff if you're coming up against, and I know he's been bad this year, but if they're going up against the team that has two lefties coming up in the ninth, they might go to Tim Mesa. They could go to Garcia. They could go to Chad Green. Swanson's going to be back any day now. So I think the play in Toronto is just to let everything work itself out. Right now, if you're adding any of these guys, it's going to be a headache. You might have added Garcia, and then, you know, tonight maybe there's a save opportunity. It goes to Chad Green. It's just there's no consistency there in Toronto, at least until Romano's back. And I think if you're adding somebody here, you're probably going to be a little bit disappointed. You're going to be chasing those saves, and this is something we do a lot, and we might even do it like this week with Colton Cowser, right? Everybody added him. He's going in the lineup this week. A lot of people either had him benched or not even rostered last week. You know, the odds are we're looking at like a 3-for-26 week with one run scored, because that's just kind of how we do things in fantasy. We're always chasing. So Garcia gets a save. We pick him up. We put him in our lineup. We think, okay, maybe a save or two from Garcia this week, and then they go to Chad Green, and Swanson's healthy. So I think this is just a bit of a headache that you guys should likely just be avoiding. I don't know that it's a situation where any of these guys is a must add. Even in the interim, I think it's going to be a headache-inducing situation. Let's talk about Sunday, and let's talk about Jose Budo. He was able to absolutely shut down the red-hot Royals. The Royals have been just incredibly hot, but Budo was able to get in there. I think they'd won 8 of 9, and he just dismantled them. Six innings pitched, he struck out 9. He had a 27% CSW and a 17.5% swinging strike rate. I've added swinging strike rate to my quick hits when I'm talking about players and putting out the player line. Usually I've just been putting the called strikes plus whiffs, but swinging strike rate is also a good metric. If you're not familiar with it, you can generally, the rule of thumb is you can multiply the swinging strike rate by 2, and that is essentially like the expected strikeout rate. It's not always going to work, but if a guy has an 11% swinging strike rate, generally it's a 22% K rate. And so on and so forth. So this is a very, very good outing from Jose Budo. I put it in my notes that I would be surprised if he doesn't remain in the Mets rotation going forward. And it was pointed out to me that in the news conference, Mendoza, the manager of the Mets, said that he is not going anywhere. He has earned a spot to stick around for now. So Jose Budo looks like he should be somebody that you are going to be picking up. I wouldn't be dropping like obscene amounts of FAB or waiver priorities on him, but he's looking pretty damn good at this point. 16% rostered on Yahoo. It should be going up, and it will be going up. It was only a 5% last week. He's jumped up. He jumped up 11% up to 16. The thing is, you're going to have to sit him this week, and sometimes this will keep a bid down or make people stay away altogether, but you're going to be sitting him this week because he's going into Dodger Stadium and playing the Dodgers. If you're starting him for that one, you got brass nuts, because I don't think that I would have the cojones to be doing that. With as well as he's pitched, maybe you could get away with it. The Dodgers are a pretty scary team to put anybody up against. Even your aces, you're kind of like, you know, should I even start them here? You probably would, but I don't think Jose Budo is in that level of circle of trust. He should still be added, but I think starting him against the Dodgers is probably a recipe for some trouble. Luis Castillo got back on track in a big way against the Cubs. 6 innings, he struck out 9, allowed 7 hits and 2 earned runs, 37% CSW, and he had a 22% swinging strike rate. His slider was absolutely grooving. He got 10 whiffs on it, and he looked like his old self. If you were able to buy low on Luis Castillo this week, then you're doing it right. You are doing what you're supposed to be doing. People are panicking because of a couple of bad starts from an established ace. You go and buy. You know, Castillo, George Kirby, there's a lot of different names. Maybe you got in on Max Fried last week. Like, there are a lot of names that are great pitchers. They have a bad start, and you can buy low. Even just like position players, pitchers, whatever, you can capitalize on some of these bad starts. And if you did on Castillo, I think you got yourself, I haven't changed my evaluation on him. I think he's still a top five or six pitcher in baseball that you probably got for a fairly steep discount based on how he started the year. So congratulations if you're able to do that. I'm not even a little bit worried about Luis Castillo going forward. Let's talk about Michael Busch. Homers in four consecutive games. And it should be noted that he started 14 out of 15 games so far this year. He's in the middle of a very good lineup. He's usually fifth or sixth. And producing the way he is, Michael Busch needs to be rostered. I mean, I don't know if this is going to last. I mean, it's not going to last to this extent. Maybe he can be like a 20-ish home run guy, 25. But you got to add him for now and see what we got here. He's first and third eligible. He's playing every single day. He's mashing. He's hitting 327 as well. This isn't just empty power. He's doing a lot for you. And he's jumped up to 61% over on Yahoo. He was 43% when I put these notes out just 16 hours ago. So people are adding him up like crazy. Almost 20,000 leagues on Yahoo. Right now we're looking at 18,600 leagues have added him. It's only 1:30 in the afternoon when I'm recording this. So the odds are that Michael Busch is going to be added up quite a bit over the remaining few hours. And we're going to see like 25,000 ads of Michael Busch. If you want him, pause the show or keep it going and go to Yahoo or go to wherever you are and pick him up because he's not going to be available for very long. Let's talk about Javier Assad. I wasn't really expecting Javier Assad to do much of anything. I drafted him in one league this year, and that was way back my first draft in the first couple days of the offseason. I drafted him in a 15-teamer. Wasn't expecting I'd get this. I thought he'd maybe be a fill-in piece of depth. But so far, he has been incredible. So yesterday, he went 5 2/3. He allowed 2 earned runs with 6 strikeouts and 1 walk, a 25% CSW, and his swinging strike rate was 11.4%. In all of his starts, he's got at least 5 innings with at least 5 strikeouts and no more than 3 earned runs. He's above streamer level at this point. Assad is somebody that you should be adding wherever you can, and he's also getting a pretty nice matchup this week against the Marlins. Jameson Taillon is going to come back into the rotation, and there's been some talk about maybe Assad leaving the rotation. I will be very mad if that happens based on what's happened here. He's been incredible to start the season. If they were to remove him for Taillon, I wouldn't really get it. We'll talk about it. I'll be angry, but I don't really expect that to happen. If someone's going to leave the rotation, I don't really think it would be Assad based on how he's pitched. I do think that he is an ad and you should be starting him against the Marlins. Assuming that he does get that start, which I'd be very surprised if he doesn't at this point, but you should be taking a look and seeing if you can still find Javier Assad on waivers. He's only 35% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Let's talk about Bailey Ober. He had a disgustingly bad start to the year. People were dropping. People were all up in the DM saying, what should I just trade, sell low? Should I cut him? Blah, blah, blah. He's followed it up with 2 great outings, one of them against the Dodgers and yesterday against Detroit. Yesterday was 6 innings pitched, shutout ball, only struck out 3, but 6 innings of shutout ball with a 25% CSW, really good stuff. There are some leagues where Bailey Ober is still available because of the mass exodus that happened after week 1. He's only 86% rostered. People are still going to be shying away because if you're looking at those rankings we mentioned earlier, he's 711th on Yahoo's player ranker, 657 ERA, 146 whip. A lot of people won't even read beyond that at this point, but you definitely should be. Bailey Ober, I've mentioned this a few times now in the first couple weeks of the season, but we're still essentially deferring to ADP without there are certain situations where you have to deviate from that. Players get hurt, players get sent down, jobs change, Alex Lang, that type of player, like obviously you're not sticking with that type of ADP. But Bailey Ober was somebody we're taking in the top 130 or so picks, and by the time the main events really came around at the end of March, he was closing in on top 100, and I think his minimum was probably inside of the top 100. These are people paying $1,500 to enter these leagues, drafting him in the top 100. Should give you an idea of what, generally speaking, the community thinks of Bailey Ober, that he's a very good pitcher. To cut bait after one bad start, the example I used, and I mentioned this when I was on Baseball HQ Radio with Patrick Davitt last week, or was it 2 weeks ago? When I was on Baseball HQ Radio, it was a couple episodes ago, that Bailey Ober was like kind of this year's Chris Bassett in a way. And just in terms of that first start, Bassett had a disgustingly bad Blue Jays debut in St. Louis a little over a year ago, and there were people who were doing the same thing, dropping Bassett. They weren't interested. He's going to have a bad year. It's a bad omen, blah, blah, blah. And then Chris Bassett ended last year with a 360 ERA. He led the American League in wins with 16. He had a 118 whip. He pitched 200 innings. You would have missed out on that if you'd cut him because you were upset about the first start. It's the same thing with Bailey Ober. He had a terrible first start. Okay, we move on. He's had two consecutive really great outings. If you're seeing him on waiver wires, you should be picking him up. It's all that. That's all there is to it with Bailey Ober. Jake Fraley is somebody that I think is worth mentioning. Another great asset in daily changes leagues. He'll play almost exclusively against righties. Maybe he'll get in there here and there against lefties, but mostly against righties. But he's been a beast since he got to Cincinnati, and I think it's kind of flown under the radar in a lot of cases. It's been a couple of years now of Jake Fraley really, really producing. Like the Seattle years were not kind to him. But if you're looking at what he did last year, 15 homers, 21 steals, and a .256 average. In 2022 was a short sample of 68 games, but he batted .260, 12 homers, 4 steals. We've only got 11 games out of him and 35 plate appearances, but he's already stolen 4 bases. He's batting .424, which obviously, yes, he's not going to bat .424, but he can bat in the .260s, give you double-digit pop with potentially 20 stolen bases. If you're in a daily changes league or potentially even in a weekly league and you see that the Reds are facing a bunch of righties, or even if it's like 4 or 5 righties, Jake Fraley is a decent start, especially when they're at home and you got that ballpark to play up as well. He's only 20% on Yahoo. Let me see if that jumped at all, because it was 20% last night. Let's see if anybody added him. I doubt it. 21%. He did go up a little bit. We have about 850 ads today. It's what should be happening. In those daily changes leagues, I think there's a lot of value in a guy like Jake Fraley on your roster. Let's talk about his teammate, Christian Encarnacion Strand. He was dropped a lot in the early going because, you know, that's just what it happens, right? People overreact. But with Encarnacion Strand, there wasn't a huge sample size to draw on, only 222 at-bats from last year. But he looked excellent. He hit 13 home runs. He batted .270. He even stole a couple bases. People who were cut and bait already, and it went down another percentage yesterday. He hit a massive home run, 422 feet yesterday. And now people have dropped him. I really don't understand how it works. Like, if you drafted Strand, you paid a very expensive price for him, and now you're cutting him 2 weeks later. I don't get it. Yes, it's a slow start, but this is just something I feel like I need to drill into everybody's heads constantly. It's like, don't overreact to anything in April. There are some pickups you can make that are going to improve your team in the long run, but if you're dropping a guy like Strand, it's a mistake. He was well over 90%. Now he's at 83, so you're finding this guy who is a potential 35 home run, 100 RBI bat with a good batting average just sitting on your waiver wires. I think it's a big mistake if you've cut bait on him. If you did, I'd go back and re-add him. I would be picking up Strand wherever you can find him. The pedigree is incredible. He's batting third every single day in that lineup. The ballpark is great. I just don't understand why people cut bait so early. He's going to make you regret it. If you did cut Christian Encarnacion Strand already, you are going to end up regretting it. Let's talk about Brian Bello. Just a really incredible month of April that he's put together so far. 5 1/3 yesterday. He struck out 8. He had 2 walks with a 27% CSW. He allowed 2 earned runs. I don't understand how he's still only 70% on Yahoo. I think that this is a number that should be quite a bit higher. 69%, actually. He has a 3.92 ERA, 1.21 whip. People will look at that ERA and be scared away, potentially. The Oakland start wasn't great for him, but he did really well against Baltimore, against the Angels, against Seattle. He's somebody that needs to be rostered. Again, like, this is somebody that is been talked about a lot in the community as a potential breakout when you're seeing him all over the place, and especially when he's got a good matchup coming this week against Pittsburgh. I don't understand why he is available as much as he is, but Brian Bello, I think, is somebody that is like a must-pick-up type of player. But honestly, I think the real true guy that is being devalued, is being disrespected, and this is going to sound crazy coming from me because I've never been a fan of this guy until this year, but it's Jack Flaherty. I mean, guys, if you go listen to my trade deadline live stream from last year, I spent like a good chunk of it talking about why I thought that Jack Flaherty was going to be a big mistake for whoever acquired him, and he wasn't going to help you get to the postseason, et cetera, et cetera. He looks like a different guy this year. And I know, like, you look on the surface, 4.91 ERA, and people are going to be like, Joe, what are you talking about? Like, he has not been very good at all this year. I mean, if you look below the surface, 3.25 xFIP is a really good number. The Sierra is 3.17. These both show that he has generally been a bit unlucky through his first couple of starts. 72% strand rate, 3.20 BABIP, they're both within the normal range, so I wouldn't expect that to bounce around really much at all. But something that is worth noting, I don't know how sustainable it is, but his command has been really good this year, and his strikeout rate is back up to where it was a few years ago. He's back up to 25%+ on the strikeout rate, walking fewer than 4% of batters. I think that Jack Flaherty still sitting out on waiver wires is a mistake. I think he's a lot better than people think. Like, yesterday was a good start for him, 6 1/3, 3 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. He's below 50% because people reacted to that bad start against the A's. I just think that this is another situation where people cut bait way too soon, and you're still looking at a guy where there's a lot of value, and I think he's perfectly serviceable in 12-team leagues and even in some 10-team leagues. My 10-team home league, he is rostered on Yahoo, and I think, honestly, it makes sense. Like, that's a league where I've expanded the pitching a little bit. There's an extra pitching spot, and there's a couple extra spots. So it's a bit deep for a 10-team league because I just couldn't stand a really shallow league. But even in those kind of settings, even in more shallow settings than that with just a standard like eight pitchers, I think that Flaherty really does warrant a roster spot. Not to say that you're necessarily starting him every single week, but I think most of the time, outside of really, really bad matchups, he's going in your lineup. And I think, you know, he's facing the Twins again next week. Yeah, it's another start against the Twins next week. I'm putting him in my lineups. I have a couple shares. He's going in the lineups. I'm really not that concerned about what we've seen with him. The underlying numbers are really good. I like what we've seen strikeout-wise. People are going to get caught in that ERA, that 4.91 ERA. He's ranked 506th according to Yahoo. I just wouldn't read into those things right now. I think if you look at the underlying numbers, they're really, really good. Let's move in, though, and talk about some of the most added and dropped players of the day. Michael Busch is number one by a long stretch, even just in the time we've been talking. Since I mentioned Michael Busch, which was what, 5-7 minutes ago, he's been added by another 100 teams in that time frame. So again, if you want him, he is the hot player today, and I think it makes sense to go and take a chance on him if you're able to fit him in. First and third eligibility, it's not going to be terribly difficult to get him in there. I would be adding him up if you can. Seth Lugo is probably the best streamer available today. He's done excellent work so far this season. Minnesota, the White Sox, and Houston, he's, you know, six innings in all of them. He got a couple of victories. Not going to be giving you massive strikeouts, but tonight, he's starting against the White Sox. So that is a great streaming opportunity. Definitely somebody that you should be taking a look at there. Martin Perez, he's also been added in quite a few leagues. It's easy to understand why. I've added him in a couple leagues myself. I think I got him for like $16 in Fab, $16-17 in Fab in a league yesterday. He's a good piece of pitching depth at this point. We're only a couple years removed from him having a fantastic season. Not to say that he's going to be like a low threes ERA guy, but I like what I've seen so far, and there's potential for this to stick even further. So I think that he is, generally speaking, worth a pickup. His next start comes against the Mets this week. That is tonight against the Mets. And then later on in the week, he actually has a two-start week. So he's facing Boston. It's a bit tricky. The Mets... I don't know. Like, the Mets haven't done terribly well, but on any given day, that lineup could definitely do some damage against you, especially as a lefty. I don't love it. Honestly, like, I didn't add him because sometimes you add a guy because you want to start him this week. With Perez, it was more just adding pitching depth. It's a two-start week, so I would understand it. I think the safer move is probably just to keep him on the bench, though, and you see how it goes. If he is able to do very well against the Mets and the Red Sox, then I think we're more bought in on this being a rest of season affair for Martin Perez. Right now, I would say that you add him and you sit him if possible. Ranger Suarez is also getting added up quite a bit. He has been fantastic, and he starts tomorrow at home against the Rockies. So that's a good one to get ahead of the curve if you can add him a day in advance. Tomorrow, he'll be a very popular add as people will be looking at those green check marks beside the names. But as of right now, he doesn't have that because he starts tomorrow instead of today. It's a good way to get ahead of the curve if you're able to pick him up. Michael Lorenzen is also a very popular ad today. He's going to be making his season debut tonight against the Tigers. I don't know that he's necessarily somebody that I'm going to be jumping at, you know, especially in this first start. I don't think Lorenzen's that good, honestly. Like, I think he's fine, but especially in the first start, I don't think he'll be terribly ramped up. He threw 4 2/3 in AAA the other day. What was it, on Wednesday? Maybe he's able to get you to 5-6 innings, but I really doubt that. I think you're probably looking at like a 4-inning start from Lorenzen. Maybe he's able to get the 5 and maybe pull out a victory, but he's not somebody that I would be prioritizing here in any way. I think that it's a fine enough stream, I guess, but you know, the matchup is fine, but definitely not somebody that I'm going out of my way to add. I think that there are probably some better pitchers available for this weekend, even just if you're looking at tonight. Let's talk about a couple other guys, though, because there's a few other names on this list that we've already gone through today. Colton Cowser, Jose Budo, Max Mayer. Mason Miller is somebody that is becoming a popular ad where he was still available. He's at 69% on Yahoo. He's been fantastic. 8 innings pitched. He has 15 strikeouts, 3 saves, 2.25 ERA, 1.13 whip. My main worry with Mason Miller, it's not even a worry. It's almost at this point, it seems like a certainty that he's going to hurt himself. He's throwing too fast. He's throwing 104. He's throwing 103, 104 the other day. He's already a guy that was hurt last year. He doesn't have a huge sample size of innings under his belt because he's always kind of been, I mean, there's always been some injury risk, and he hasn't stayed at any particular level for too long either. But there's a lot of risk with Mason Miller. Like, if you're just picking him up as a free agent, then that's fine. But if you're, like, buying high on him, thinking, like, oh, my God, look at what he's doing. He's pumping 103. He's getting saves, good ERA, good strikeouts. If you're buying high on him, I think that's going to turn out poorly. If you can just pick him up as a free agent, then, and you still can in some leagues, he's only 69% rostered, then I think you can do that, and it makes sense. But I think at the end of the day, we know where this is going. And I don't want to sound pessimistic. It's just, what else are we supposed to expect at this point with every pitcher having arm problems? Maybe he's able to get through it this year and not, but eventually that elbow is going to give. You can't throw 103, 102, 104 consistently without it eventually causing you some problems. So I think that that's a situation where you don't go out of your way to get Mason Miller through trade. If you're picking him up as a free agent or for, you know, limited fab, limited waiver priority cost, then I don't mind it, but I am very worried that his arm is just going to fall off at some point. Let's get into the drops. Tyler Anderson is the number one drop after he has a bad start yesterday against the Red Sox. He allowed, what was it, 4 earned runs over 4 1/3. Three runs and 4 hits. It was not a great outing for Tyler Anderson. This is one where he had a couple of good starts to begin the year, and people were thinking that maybe he would do what Martin Perez did a couple years ago, and Anderson did it himself a couple years ago, where he had a fantastic season, and I think people were like, well, maybe we're able to get another one of those out of Anderson. And not to say that we can't, but, you know, he got roughed up by the Red Sox pretty good. A couple of home runs in the first inning. He's not a priority for me at all. His next start will come in Cincinnati, and that is one where you are definitely sitting him. I do not want him anywhere near that start. And I think, honestly, he's not somebody that you should be prioritizing as a hold or an add. He's just kind of, bleh, whatever. In a good matchup, you can stream him, but in most cases, you don't really need to worry about it. James Paxton is getting dropped after, I honestly didn't even believe it. I was watching the game while I was putting my note, I was, you know, typing up my notes from the day watching Sunday Night Baseball, and they'd flashed across the screen that, Paxton had 8 walks. He'd issued 8 walks. I don't know if I've seen a number that high from a starting pitcher in a very long time. 3 runs, 3 hits, 8 walks. He had only 1 strikeout. This was a really, really bad outing from him. I'm not at the point of giving up on him, though. I mean, even with that bad outing, you're looking at a 2.81 ERA. The whip is at 1.50, which is brutal. But you're still looking at a guy who is a solidified spot, pitching for what is likely the best team in all of baseball. Double-digit wins should be in the cards. You're not going to get a hell of a lot of strikeouts, but I think that you're probably getting decent enough ratios that you can justify it, especially with the win. So I think it's probably a little premature to be cutting James Paxton. Abner Uribe, he blew a save. It's not great, but this is what's going to happen when you're the closer. You're going to blow a couple saves, and then, you know, right on cue, we have 3,200 teams have cut bait from Abner Uribe. He's still the closer. I haven't heard anything that's going to suggest that he's not the closer. Back-to-back bad outings from him, but, I mean, this is not something that I'm really that worried about. I think that, honestly, they don't have a better option until Devin Williams comes back. If you picked up your eBay, you probably have the closer. If you want to get rid of him, I think that that's just, I think it's premature. Again, a lot of moves I think are premature. If you were able to get him, that was a big win for you. You've already been able to bank 3 saves out of it and a win. Maybe you didn't get all of those in your lineup, but you probably got a couple saves out of it at least. I don't understand, guys. I just don't think that they're going to go to, you know, Piamps didn't look good. McGill is on the IL. Williams is not very close to returning. I think it's a bit of a premature move here to be dropping Abner Uribe. I would not be cutting bait just because of a bad start or a bad outing or even 2 bad outings. Like, I think it's just too soon. But that will do it for me today, guys. I appreciate all you guys starting out the week with us. If you haven't done so already, leaving a rating and review is very much appreciated. It does help the show to grow more, be seen by more people, and that's obviously the goal here. If you got any questions, you guys can reach me over on Twitter at JoeOrico99 and also at the Ethos Fantasy BB account. That's where we post all of our new content, podcasts, articles, news and notes, you name it, we got it over there. We'll be back again tomorrow, but until then, everybody, take care and have a great night.